This podcast is a presentation of UCTV.tv, University of California Television. Like what you learn? Help others discover UCTV podcasts by leaving a comment or rating in iTunes.
The solution to the Alzheimer's epidemic is not an easy one. A diagnosis often begins with patients and their immediate circle of family and friends lost and confused.
If you imagine yourself that you're in a strange city, and you want to get from one part of the city to another. And in this city, all the signs, all the maps are in a foreign language, and all the people are friendly, well-meaning, wants to help out, but you can't understand them, they can't understand you. That is what dementia is like for a lot of people and their families.
At UCLA, a new Alzheimer's and dementia care program, aided with a Medicare Innovation Challenge grant, is reinventing the system.
Well, it sounds like things are better.
Tying expert resources together and providing a guide.
At UCLA is proposing to essentially adopt the patient who has Alzheimer's or other dementias. We're going to make sure that a good care plan is developed for that each individual patient. That plan is implemented and that patient is monitored and followed. Essentially, the patient becomes part of our family.
One big thing they'll get that they've never had before is they'll get a care manager. They'll get an individual who will typically be a nurse practitioner, who will have expertise in assessment and in helping connect those individuals to necessary resources.
You aren't given a manual on how to deal with dementia. You aren't given a roadmap on how your life is going to progress with this. And they're often so overwhelmed with the emotion of the situation, the pressures of taking care of often a wife, husband, mother or father, in some cases a sister or a brother, that they can't see what resources they have, whether that's family, friends, financial, community support. And my job is to try to show them.
In the UCLA program, a care manager or geriatrician can be contacted 24 hours a day. And care managers provide vital feedback to doctors, improving patient care. The first step is often getting a proper diagnosis.
We hear too many times of families who will go to physicians, and it takes the fourth or fifth physician before someone sits down and says, you know, your father has dementia, and I think it's probably Alzheimer's disease.
$5, and how much change?
One.
That's perfect.
A simple test involving memorization, calculations, even putting hands on a clock.
I can't do it.
Okay.
Why did I put 9 here? I don't know.
Okay, well, that's a good effort.
These can provide clues with a referral for more in-depth testing if necessary.
One of the most valuable aspects of my job is being able to take a patient at a very vulnerable time through a difficult diagnostic workup, when we're asking difficult questions, when we're tapping a memory that has been weakened by this disease. And my aim is to do that, to be with the patient in a way that brings them honor and respect and gives them dignity for who they are.
Alzheimer's and other dementia can affect not only past memories, but as with Patty, it can affect prospective memory, like remembering the sequence of planning your day.
I have notes all over my house. But if somebody moves this, I won't remember and I'll get scared. That's my closet thing.
Prospective memory is something that we should be asking our patients about, since it's a skill that is impacted early on in the disease process. And even more importantly, caregivers report that failures of prospective memory, things like forgetting to go to the bank to deposit a check, forgetting to take medications, these problems are more distressing to them than forgetting details of the past.
And researchers at the Mary S. Easton Center at UCLA are now able to correlate these important memory problems with atrophy in the hippocampus area of the brain.
We're hoping that this work will be pivotal in early diagnosis because that is when the interventions are most beneficial.
When I first was diagnosed, I told Gail that I thought, in a year I'd be in confined somewhere, put into an asylum or something. But that was a long time ago.
Diagnosed 5 years ago, Herb has been enrolled in a clinical drug trial at UCLA.
When you first get the diagnosis of Alzheimer's, you think, my goodness, my life is going to be over very shortly. And with him, that's not been the case. And I am a strong believer in people getting diagnosed as early as they possibly can if they suspect that there's any problem, and do something about it.
Susan is a former nurse who is also on a clinical drug trial. She has an early onset form of Alzheimer's disease. New memories are lost within minutes, and it is a struggle to find words.
It makes me crazy, because if I want to say something, I have to do it immediately, and the other way, I can't get it out.
With onset younger than age 65, often in the 40s, sometimes even younger than that, but certainly in the 50s and early 60s, many of these patients are misdiagnosed. They go from physician to physician or other healthcare provider, sometimes for years being mischaracterized and misdiagnosed because their presentation and their illness is different.
The saying that has grown up in the world of Alzheimer's now is, if you've seen one person with Alzheimer's, you've seen one person with Alzheimer's. It's unique to every person.
This is me and my mom.
Susan relies increasingly on her husband, Serge.
Everything. He is the most amazing man. And I love him so much.
Rabbi Harry Roth cares for his wife, Lillian.
She can sit with people at a table and carry on a conversation, and people would never know that she has Alzheimer's. But 2 seconds later, she can say to me, who was that at the table with us? A few minutes after you leave, if I talk about this interview, she will not remember it. I mean, it is a very painful thing.
UCLA has enlisted an army of expert community resources to help each patient, their family, and provide caregiver support.
My goal is to give people a place to come where they can talk about anything they want that has come up for them, and to assist them in making the decisions that they need to make, because there are always people in that group who are farther along that road than somebody else is and can help others who are facing the difficult decisions that they're facing.
The caregivers and the relatives get depressed. The risk of major clinical depression is 50% in primary caregivers of patients with Alzheimer's dementia.
UCLA is working with TV personality Lisa Gibbons, who lost her mother to Alzheimer's, and has established Lisa's Place.
We're very, very proud to partner with, to collaborate with UCLA in an approach to caregiving and in a way of dealing with Alzheimer's and the dementias. This disease really does cause families to unravel, so we've got to hold hands as a community. We've got to reach out and know that we are stronger when we become a team. So Lisa's Place is part of a team that believes we're not alone, that believes we can empower the caregivers to show up every day with hope and love and fearlessness and courageousness. And that's really the goal of Lisa's Place and Lisa's Care Connection.
There's just no way of knowing what it means to live with an Alzheimer's patient whose life was together for so many years, what's going on. There's absolutely no way you could ever say to anybody, I know. The only people who could say I know are those who are going through it.
10, 11. UCLA has also teamed up with adult daycare centers like Santa Monica's Wise and Healthy Aging.
A family member can drop off their loved one and have that peace of mind and have that respite that allows them to go to work or to take care of other things that they need to address in their daily living, and know that their loved one is here, safe with us, engaged in activities, that they're not just sitting around watching TV or falling asleep or such, but that we have activities in the morning, and we also have activities in the afternoon, and then there's the social interaction of lunch together.
So one day I was so frustrated, I happened to remember there was this center here that I'd heard about, but I didn't think my dad had needed it. And in fact, I still didn't think so. I must say I was thinking, I can't handle this anymore, so I'm going to try seeing what this would be like. And it turns out he loves it. So this is a dream, because all he has to do is sit on the bench, the Dial-A-Ride picks him up. He has no decisions, nothing he has to do except come here. And then they do things he enjoys. He says they are things you might not want to do on your own, but we're all doing it. And so he's just happy, happy. And then they take him home.
Swell. It really takes a village. And we are very proud to be working with UCLA. What we're seeing is an increasing number of families that are dealing with Alzheimer's and the diagnosis of early memory loss.
I take care of him, you know, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. But a place like this is great for our parents to go to, and it's stimulating for him. And I know when he does come home, he's exhausted, so he's had a really full day.
Nice and easy.
These partnerships that we're forging with UCLA and with our other community partners are more critical than ever. We can keep seniors out of emergency rooms. We can reduce hospital stays. And what I think is really critical for both the patient or client and the families is that we can keep and stave off institutionalization. And it's ultimately the caregiver who helps them stay at home longer, addresses their quality of life, and keeps them, you know, as happy and healthy as possible.
Get support, and get support right away. So caregivers often think they're Superman or Wonder Woman, but they're not. And they try to take this on alone. And this is not a one-person job. The better off the caregiver is, the better off their loved one is too. So by helping themselves, which is so important, they're also helping their loved one, which is so important.
Another tremendous resource is the UCLA Longevity Center, providing education, memory training, even a brain boot camp to keep our brain healthy and memory strong.
Everyone will have memory changes as they age. In fact, by age 45, we can measure these changes in the average person. That's no reason to give up. The scientific evidence tells us that genetics, what we inherit from our parents, is not the whole story when it comes to brain health. In fact, non-genetic factors and lifestyle choices we make every day may have a bigger impact than most people realize.
Getting enough exercise, eating a diet rich in omega-3 fats like fish and nuts, and antioxidant fruits and vegetables. Maintaining your proper weight and managing stress can all help protect our brain. No matter what stage of our memory loss, there is more help and promise than ever before.
And we're all different. And to be able to be a part of somebody's life at such critical decision making and at such critical points in their lives, they and their families never forget you.
I feel, for some reason, when I'm here with my doctors, that there's hope.
You've been listening to a podcast by University of California Television. For more information about this program or UCTV, visit us online at uctv.tv.